91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. For those who didn't vote early or use the absentee option, tomorrow is Election Day. Midterm elections generally have a lower turnout, but perhaps tomorrow's will surprise. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. The Florida governorship appears literally up for grabs for either incumbent Rick Scott or challenger Charlie Crist. Most experts think the medical marijuana amendment will stir voter interest as well. We'll speak with Watchdog Report publisher Dan Rickard, Broward Bulldog editor Dan Christensen, and political Corte Dito blogger Elaine DeValle. Of course, we expect plenty of your calls. That's Topical Currents up next, an election preview after NPR and regional news.
And we return. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Well, this hour we ponder tomorrow's election. Soon the TV and radio ad battles will cease. It's apparently a razor-thin Florida governor's race. And it's been likely that medical marijuana usage will be voter-approved, but maybe not.
Okay. Hi, everybody. We're joined now by frequent contributor and Watchdog Report publisher, Dan Ricker. Welcome to you.
Hey, Bonnie. Always a pleasure.
And good Joe, to have you back.
Good to see you back.
And also in the studio is Broward Bulldog editor and longtime journalist, Dan Christensen. Welcome to you.
Political Corte Dito blogger Elaine DeValle was scheduled to be on our program, but couldn't make it.
Okay, so before we get to our guests, we want to hear from you, our listeners. Who and what are you voting for, or why did you not vote, or will you not vote tomorrow?
Make sure your whys are included.
Yes, we want to know who and, I mean, what and why. And how do you feel about the negative advertising in this election?
Negative?
No. Yeah, no. Okay, so Dan and Dan. How do we know how early voting and absentee voting turn out yet?
In Broward, I hear it's about what was expected. I'm not quite sure if that means heavier or light, but I'm not, and I haven't heard at all about Miami. Have you, Dan?
Well, just I think that tomorrow, Election Day, is going to be a big day for the Democrats because the Republicans have already banked a lot of their absentee ballots. You know, in the, you know, have already, it's neck and neck. But I mean, you know, how Palm Beach plays out, how Broward plays out, you know, I don't think we'll have an answer to who's the governor of Florida till midnight on Tuesday night.
If then. But did you know this souls to the polls thing, this get out the vote drive?
Right on Sunday.
Yeah, well, evidently it saw a record-breaking turnout in Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties.
Right. Well, this time, I think sometimes when they do that, they don't have buses at the black churches, African-American churches, and to running them to the polls. And I used to say, you know, when the Republicans had some big rally or whatever, they'd have buses and they'd take all their supporters to early voting and actually vote. And it was one of the reasons, you know, the GOP was always, their ground game was always very strong, much stronger than the Democrats historically. But I think they're really, you know, for an off-year election, they're getting a pretty good turnout.
Joe, you know what I forgot to do? Give out the number.
1-800-743-9576 if you'd like to join in our discussion with both Dan Christensen and Dan Ricker. 1-800-743-9576, or you can email us. Please keep them short, radio@wlrn.org, radio@wlrn.org. Over the weekend in the governor's race, both the candidates brought out big names, the vice president with Charlie Crist and Jeb Bush, former governor, with Scott.
Right.
Is there any significance in that?
Well, I think, you know, Jeb, there's also with him the undercurrent, is he going to run for president? So, I mean, he's
he's showing that he's doing his party work.
Well, yeah, and he's trying to show and also get back his campaign edge, I think. But I mean, Biden coming down, and also Michelle Obama, she came down. That helped Charlie.
Was anybody surprised that Jeb Bush came out for Rick Scott?
No, he's been on television for a while.
I mean, but was that a surprise that he...
Not to me. Not if he's at all considering running. He's got to support the party guy.
It's funny, Joe, you said the candidates, both the candidates for governor, but there are, let's see.
Oh, Wiley.
Wiley and Frank Kavari and Glenn Burkett.
Fareed Kavari.
Right.
I mean,
he's
Frank.
Been on this Fareed. Program. He's been on
yeah.
the program.
No, and he ran for county mayor.
Years ago.
He
and
ran
may,
for county mayor one time.
And they appear, Wiley in particular, appears to hold the, the balance of
right.
votes
he's
here.
An 8%,
he could make the difference.
$100 million were spent in the governor's race. Mm-hmm. Seems incredible.
And it all, what I love about Tuesday or election night,
both sides.
And I noticed this back in 2008, is exactly at 7 o'clock, if you're watching TV, you have been bombarded all these days with ads, and all of a sudden it just stops.
Mm-hmm.
At exactly, as soon as the polls close, it just stops.
And hopefully all the voicemails that we're
right.
getting on our home
yes.
phones
right.
will
yeah.
stop as well.
Now, early on, it seemed like the amendment to the medical marijuana
yeah. that needs
amendment
a 60%
was going to be, though, that it was going to yeah. be a slam dunk. They were talking about, the proponents were talking about 80% approval, but they've really chipped away at it, according to the polls.
Well, they've had an effective ad that, it's kind of unlicensed, that, there's a doctor saying, you don't need a prescription pad.
I remember some guy saying, it's for potheads who want to sit around and watch TV.
Right, whatever. It's but it's something that... with a 60% threshold, I'll be surprised if it passes.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. I would be surprised if it passes too. Yeah, Florida is a very conservative state. This is a statewide issue.
But when they did that poll, as Joe mentioned,
it was
a while
early
ago,
on.
Yeah.
That
and
was
they
early.
Knew that the advertising would try and right. sway it the other
but that
way.
Was, but. That's the key. It was early on before there was a lot of information out about it.
So. Well, and we're also watching what's going on in California, Colorado, and, each of those states are picking up a certain amount of issues.
Our number, if you'd like to join in, we'll take some calls soon, 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Before we take calls, I want to go back to the governor's race, and this time around, have the Democrats had a more thorough race for Charlie Crist than they did last time with Alex Sink? Have they been more effective this time?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all,
more
Charlie's a better campaigner.
Statewide face.
Alex was ran a terrible, terrible campaign in 2010, and she wasn't that great as a campaigner. I mean, Charlie, once he gets the wind to his back, is a pretty good candidate. And the only time he really looked bad was when, Marco Rubio was beating him so badly when he was running for the U.S. Senate.
How important do you think independent voters are going to be?
I think very important.
MPA,
no party affiliation, is the fastest growing party out of the state's, 4 million voters. It's a big deal.
Let's take a first call. We'll be breaking in a few minutes. This is Kristen in Miami Beach. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I voted for Charlie Crist, and the reason I voted for Charlie Crist is I'm a professor at Miami-Dade College, and this past year with our referendum, we really wanted that halfpenny tax over 5 years to fund the college, because, we're the people's college. We educate 40% of the community. And the government, Rick Scott and certain Republicans this year really kind of squashed that. And another reason is that Charlie Crist recognizes climate change, and that's another important thing. The academia has gone to Governor Scott and said, please look at these statistics, recognize it, stand up as a proponent for our community, and he hasn't done that. So I really do think that we need to vote for Charlie Crist to be an advocate for climate change and education.
Okay. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, Miami-Dade's 175,000 students. It's a big school.
And we'll move along. This is Marjorie in Boca. Again, our number is 1-800-743-9576. Margie, you're up.
Thank you. I voted early also, and my issues, although I did vote for Charlie Crist, but the reason I voted early was to vote no on Amendment 3, which is the amendment about who gets to select judges. And also in Palm Beach County, the last amendment has to do with a half-penny school tax, which I voted for, also because the finances for schools have been cut so severely. I think it's important that the schools get more funding.
Do you think of Dan Christensen, a lot of people, voters didn't really understand Amendment 3? It seemed kind of innocuous with the wording that was used.
Yeah, well, they always look sound that way when you read them. And I think this is another example. I don't know if there were, I didn't see any early polls on that to see if there's been any change on it. But it's the kind of thing that if people don't understand it, they might very well vote for it. I think if they do understand it, the idea that...
Thinking that it saves time.
Yeah. And the idea that the outgoing governor is the person that makes the decision and the incoming governor is the one who does not, I think is something that most people would, you know, would just sort of naturally reject. That's the whole idea of electing new people to come in and make new decisions.
We have an emailer. Carlos wants to know, is it just coincidence that John Morgan, the largest backer of the medical marijuana amendment, is also Charlie Crist's law partner? Is the proposed amendment just a way to get out younger voters who tend to vote Democratic?
I believe that from everything I've read that that's a sincere effort on Morgan's part here. I think that has a side benefit for Charlie Crist as well, but I don't think that that's the principal motivation. As a matter of fact, there was a story, I think it's in today's paper, interview with him saying that he intends, if it's a close race at all,
He intends
to bring it up again. Correct.
We're discussing tomorrow's election with Dan Christensen, and he's an award-winning former investigative reporter for the Miami Herald and editor and founder of the Broward Bulldog, and Dan Ricker is publisher and editor of the Watchdog Report. We'll be right back.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you, along with Bonnie Berman, Dan Christensen, and Dan Ricker. We're talking about tomorrow's official election day, and we're getting your views.
Thank God it's over.
Getting your views by phone if you'd like to call in. 1-800-743-9576. Is it appropriate to say, is this the nastiest statewide race?
At least since the last one.
We say that time, right?
Is it just becoming standard operating procedure? Is that what's happened?
That's what seems to be the difference over the last, I don't know, at least for me, over the last 5 to 10 years, is that that's what campaigns now seem to be about. They're not about the issues, who has a better policy, who's more thoughtful. It's about, you know, which one of the candidates can smear the other one the best or the most effectively.
And how effective is that? For the candidates.
Apparently, it's extremely effective.
If it didn't work, they wouldn't use it.
Exactly. I mean, I've talked to a number of political analysts. I asked the same thing. At what point do people just get completely fed up and demand that things change? We're not there yet, that's for sure.
And we...
Well, in the case of Charlie, he had such a long, political record. I mean, a Republican record as well. You know, you can go back to Chain Gang Charlie. Scott's...
When he was Department of Education secretary.
No, he was a state senator. But also you had that comment that he thought Bill Clinton should be, resign during the Lewinsky scandal. I mean, so the fact that the Scott campaign's bringing back so much of this past has been not fascinating.
But the Scott campaign turns around and objects to the fact that Charlie Crist is bringing up all the Medicaid fraud at Columbia HCA when Governor Scott was the
CEO.
Was the head of the company.
Right.
So I mean, that's what they do. That's what this is all about. there's what I haven't quite understood is there is plenty of new stuff out there, certainly about Governor Scott's blind trust and his right. ownership interest in certain stocks.
Well, the Lieutenant Governor
regulates the
told
companies.
Me he thought that Steve Bosquet and some of the people at the Herald were, you know, being unfair the way they are covering the campaign. And
oh, I'm sure they did think they was being unfair.
I was sitting there thinking, yeah, that's the way it goes.
And another listener, this is Carol in Fort Lauderdale. Hi there. Carol, you're up.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Okay.
Okay, I voted early, and I voted for Charlie Crist. I am a Democrat in Broward County. And, you know, although Charlie made some negative comments regarding Democrats when he was a Republican, I chose him as the better of two evils. I definitely could not vote for Rick Scott based on his criminal past and how he defrauded the federal government. Definitely not. And I also voted to approve all the amendments.
How about the school bond, the $800 million school bond?
I did. I voted to approve it, even though I have no children in public school at the time, but I did at one time, and they got an excellent education here in Florida, and so I voted for it. I want other children to have the opportunity my kids had.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
We have an emailer, Barbara. She says, I'm not comfortable saying I voted for Charlie Crist. I prefer to say I voted against Rick Scott. I would have preferred a viable third candidate, but did not think one really had a chance to win, so I'm ready for this election year to be over. It's depressing.
Well, I find it interesting that the Democrats have not been able to find a viable, legitimate statewide candidate. They have to, you know, go back to essentially a Republican retread here in Charlie Crist.
Yeah. You know, Bill Nelson's it.
Well, what's wrong with the Democratic Party?
And their bench.
And their bench, exactly. Why can't they, and this is not new, it's been going on for years. What is wrong with the Democratic Party, and when are they going to, you know, fix it?
We move along to Hernan in Coral Gables. Hi there.
Hi there. Good afternoon. I have a question for the panel. Being that we might have a new governor or have the same governor on Wednesday morning, interested in the opinion of the panel of what the residents of Florida can expect in terms of health care, taxes, the insurance reform, infrastructure, and so forth for the next 4 years, assuming that we still have a legislature, Republican-led legislature, regardless of who's governor, what can we expect?
Your call was presented to me also, Hernan, that you wanted to know what it would be like if Crist won and had to deal with the Republican legislatures.
So we'll and whether, we'll whether they have a supermajority.
We'll address that, too. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, he'll be in a similar situation that Obama appears like he's going to be in come then and has been to some extent. It's if Crist is elected, there's going to be a standoff in Tallahassee for the next 4 years. And I doubt if there a lot is going to get done, but there are some people that might think that that's a good thing,
right,
given some of the recent legislation that's come out.
And what about his other questions about the insurance and
taxes,
the health care, and how that's going to be affected, let's say, if we have a different...
I think Charlie Crist has been more progressive in regard to the insurance issue. People argue that Scott tried to make citizens more business sound. You know, when his first couple of years there, I think you had a slight uptick in rates, and then you put the inspector general on some of their spending and meeting, you know, how they were doing certain things. But it's, you know, I mean, Charlie is more of a schmoozer and more of a middle ground person. I mean, and I don't know if he'll battle not to, you know, be and take some of the federal dollars from Medicare.
Right.
You know, that's going to be a big one.
Well, much of what we've heard, too, has not illuminated that. We do not know.
No.
Because they're not talking about these issues. They're talking about what a creep the other guy is.
Right. We have one for you, Dan Christensen. Ben says, I'm retired, live in East Broward, and believe it's my civic obligation to support the $800 million bond referendum, even if supposedly will increase my property taxes by approximately $50. Superintendent Runcie and most of the board members were not around during the scandals that sent two former board members to jail. However, the chairwoman of the district's facilities task force, Natalie Lynch Walsh, who has not taken a public position but is quoted in Sunday's Herald as saying, I'm personally not seeing any evidence that gives me some degree of comfort that the money
right,
won't
even
be
though,
misspent.
Even though she's an accountant and has some financial background, I saw that too.
Right.
So
yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think he's pretty astute, and I'm glad to see he's, you know, keeping up on stuff, reading the paper. There aren't enough people doing that these days. Anyway, you know, this is the single biggest issue in Broward that's going to be on the ballot here. It's a proposed $800 million bond issue. They're for 30 years, so basically it amounts to a surcharge or a tax, whatever you want to call it, on Broward voters, as he said, of about $50 for average, you know, an average household. The thing that's striking to me about this is that it's mostly, not completely, but it's mostly about maintenance. There's schools that are falling apart. I've got a son who goes to a local high school up there. The roof leaks, you know, it's kind of older and semi-dumpy. And it's decrepit, I guess, is the word here. That is something that, should be part of the operating budget that occurs, you know, that's implemented every year. And there, you know, there have been billions of dollars under the, you know, over the waterfall here in recent years up there, and they still haven't managed to do that. So the question becomes, yes, we have some new leaders here, but are these, you know, new leaders the same as the old leaders? Do they deserve the same trust that we might give to another institution that has dealt effectively with these issues over the year and basically done its job? I'd like to think so, but I've got my doubts about that.
And they also moved fairly quickly on this matter. I mean, to bring it to voters without plowing and doing the preparation work that was done here in Miami-Dade when they got their $1.2
right.
billion bond pass.
They had a
pass.
Big kickoff yeah. on this just a couple of months ago.
Right. And you're going to see this, I think, on our bond for the new courthouse, civil courthouse.
Right.
I don't think it's on a pass. It just, the way it's been presented to the voters, you know, just suddenly appeared.
Right.
I'm not getting from what the email traffic I'm seeing.
They would be right. taxing inmates.
Well, no, partially. Yeah, they're now talking about adding some major surcharges, to different things like.
So if you're a scofflaw,
well,
you're
no,
arrested.
if your driver's license and you have $100 tax or penalty if you've done something with that actually makes you criminal. I mean, one of the reasons we have something like 400,000 people in Dade County with expired drivers or with acceptable driver's licenses, they owe something, and it becomes criminal over a period of time. And when the state a few years ago started bumping up some of the fees for certain tickets and whatever, a lot of people couldn't pay. So suddenly their driver's license is becoming invalid. And that's what they're going to try to do is tack on all these things. And we may end up finding that it just surges into us incarcerating more people.
Right, and there's also an element here of insiders supporting both the
right.
courthouse thing and the Broward bond issue. In Broward in particular, you've got people like Bob Butterworth, Alan Levy, who's a respected local businessman, George Lemieux, the former mini senator that we had,
right.
Serving as sort of front men for this bond issue here. And they are part of the same crowd. They weren't members of the school board, but they're part of the same crowd that's pushed this sort of stuff in the past. And while I think probably is going to give a boost. It's under, by the way, they're operating under a thing called the Citizens for Safe and Modern Schools. I mean, who's going to oppose that?
Right.
No
right.
one.
Right.
But it makes you wonder about what's going on behind the scenes that we don't know. There have been a lot of promises made about where and how the money will be spent, but nothing is set in stone. And you wonder that what ultimately is going to happen with this money if it passes.
It's Topical Currents. We're talking elections. We'll take a short break and be back with more.
And we return. It's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're with Watchdog Report publisher Dan Ricker and also Broward Bulldog editor Dan Christensen. Dan Ricker, break down what voters will be seeing as far as Miami-Dade County and municipal items and races.
Well, you've got some of the small municipalities have some charter issues on.
It's not a very long ballot.
Palmetto Bay has amendments. Well, there's actually, you have to flip over one of the ballot pages for a lot of the amendments. But, the big issue is going to be, how many people, especially on the municipal side, are going to show up. And it's one of the reasons so many times municipal leaders put it, on a off-year election like this is because they know there will be such small participation that they can sneak through a lot of things. Actually, in this case, right now you've got the thing with building structures in parks, for libraries or different things.
Right.
Which kind of pierces the Dan Paul Amendment, which limits and protects the parks from, developers or a lot of different things.
Well, what does that one mean that says... I find the language of this confusing. The Dade County Charter Amendment, the one exempting the Miami-Dade Regional Soccer Park from Article 7.
Right. Well, Article 7 is the one that you can't... what they're saying there is they want to do something different with the soccer park.
Including some commercial things.
Yeah, they want either commercial or bleachers or something.
Right.
And it's the same thing, And once you pierce that, if it passes... From the county standpoint, the commissioners, they'll go, oh, well, the voters passed it, so we can, erect Jungle Island there or,
right.
Snowflake Village or whatever.
So if anyone's for preserving the parks as the parks, they should vote no on those amendments?
That's my opinion. There's people have been eyeing the parks of Miami-Dade for years.
For its size in the metropolitan area.
Yeah, we have 240 parks.
Fewest amount of acreage in parks than almost any other in the U.S. Dan Christensen, what's important in Broward?
First and foremost is the bond issue. There's a second issue that shouldn't be controversial, I don't think, but has become controversial because of its place where the question is located on the ballot. That has to do with the reauthorization of the Children's Services Council. It's physically located. By the way, the CSC is a group that basically provides services to underprivileged children. They impose a tax on homeowners. I think their budget is about $60 million a year, something like that.
Well, it's similar then to our Children's Trust of Miami-Dade County.
Yes, it's basically the same sort of thing. But up there, they're both actually independent taxing districts. Anyway, and basically the vote is simply a question as to whether or not the CSC should be reauthorized, and it was, should it continue on? And there seems to be a lot of support out there for this thing. However, it's located on the ballot underneath one of the constitutional amendment number 3 question, and even though to anyone that really looks closely at it, you can see that it's clearly marked a county question. It has come under fire because the supervisor of elections come under fire for putting it there, saying that people aren't going to notice it, or they're going to think that it's attached to the amendment question above it, and people are going to vote against it. Whether that'll happen or not, I don't know, but that's why there's been quite a bit of controversy about it. There's several different legislative races, mm-hmm. The most interesting of which, and nastiest of which, is Senator Maria Sachs against Ellen Bogdanoff, who had the job before. It's a real nasty knockdown, drag-out fight that the Miami Herald has called the most closely watched Florida Senate race in the state because it could give Republicans a veto-proof majority and also have some influence on who's the Senate president in 2016.
Have they established where Senator Sachs lives?
That was
always, a major issue with her.
Well, that's the horse that Ellen Bogdanoff here keeps flogging. I have not personally gone out to determine where she lives. apparently the question is still there. Right. And if indeed she doesn't live in the district, there could be a constitutional violation because you're supposed to live in your district. You know, what happened here, both these two were senators at the same time. Redistricting in 2012, was it?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. No, maybe even before that. Anyway, their districts basically got consolidated or merged or whatever, and they ended up fighting over the same seat. And Sachs won, and she won, even though she was outspent 2-1 by Bogdanoff. This time, Bogdanoff still has more money, but they're a lot closer in spending. And it'll be interesting to see which one actually takes the race here. But there's been some nasty stuff. I got a couple of flyers here saying that Maria Sachs should be in jail, basically because she doesn't live in her district. And I got another one here that was obviously put out by, actually it's put out by Floridians for Integrity in Government. It's a paid electioneering communication that's put out with a committee that's apparently independent of,
Bogdanoff,
independent in quotes of Bogdanoff.
When she first ran, had like a 5-member race, and I happened to catch her interview with the Miami Herald at the time, and it was these 4 men against her, and she's a tough lady. So,
well, that's why she's back to fight.
Right.
So it seems is Maria Sachs, because she's not rolling over here.
Right.
We have a couple of emailers. Sue in Monroe County. I care about public education, and Rick Scott has been terrible for public education, supporting high-stakes testing and privatization, so I voted for Crist. Nan Rich was a great Democratic candidate, especially as far as education goes, but her own party barely gave her a chance, and Crist refused to debate her. We have another one that wants an explanation. This is J or Y. As a volunteer for the race, everyone we have reached out to has not understood Amendment 3. It has to be explained to everyone before walking into the polls. That's the first part of the email. There's a second part. Do you want to explain Amendment 3?
Let's do the first.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the courts?
Yeah.
Amendment 3 is the one about appointing the judges, I believe.
Oh, right, 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 right. No,
we
I
went
mean,
over that.
That was really, to a certain extent, created to allow Rick Scott, if he wins again, to a certain extent, stack the Supreme Court and put in less, what are they calling them, activist judges.
Yeah, they're going to be how many terms up at that point?
Yeah, I think, was it?
Two or three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a whole slew of them are going to be coming out.
Right. So, in other words, given the language of it, of the amendment, so it says, proposing an amendment to the state constitution requiring the governor to prospectively fill vacancies in a judicial office to which election for retention applies resulting from the justices or justices. Anyway, so if they want to not have the sitting, the
governor. Right, or the incoming governor replace those. To be honest, my position is when it comes to the Supreme Court, we have to fight any attempt to politicize it, in my opinion.
Yes, it's a power play.
I mean, we do have, the legislature, there's plenty of politics to go around. And frankly, the courts once in a while are the only bastion of sanity.
So in other words, if they don't want the politicizing of it, they should vote no.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. And we move along to more calls. Michael, Fort Lauderdale. Hi. Michael, you're up.
Oh, hi. I'm calling actually in reference to the Amendment 2.
The medical marijuana issue.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. I backed that amendment legalization based on the fact that I feel it hinders individuals with disabilities' ability to obtain gainful employment due to nonviolent offenses. Also, I feel it leads to the filling up of our jails and thus taxpayer dollars. I feel that this amendment should be legalized ultimately to reduce this hindrance.
Okay.
Many of the anti-amendment to spots, Dan's, mentioned that this is just a loophole to have wide open marijuana purchases
right.
possible. Are there loopholes?
Well, the legislature actually has to write the creative language that, and I think Alex Diaz de la Portillo may be involved in that, the former state senator. But the legislature has to put the legal framework of how that would work.
But the voters then are just approving the term medical marijuana.
Right. And then the legislators will create what exactly, similar to what happened with the Florida lottery to a certain extent.
Right. We all know how that turned
out. Yeah, and we know how that turned out, yeah.
I get those calls all the time. But I thought it was supposed to be for education.
Yeah. Well, the same thing is true with this. I mean, it's widely perceived that way. I've read a number of columns. The editor Context Florida, which is an opinion online opinion site, he wrote about it, acknowledged his own use of marijuana, and basically said he's voting for it because he sees this as a first step towards the general legalization or decriminalization, or whatever you want to call it here.
Gene writes, I'm a rhino that's sick of the Tea Party. What's a rhino?
Republican in name only.
Okay, he says he plans to vote for Charlie Crist tomorrow, Governor Crist tomorrow.
Okay, and let's move along. Let's see.
Generally, it means you're a moderate or in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, hence why he's voting for Crist.
Right. And this is Denise, Miami Beach. Denise.
Hi. Right. Hi, this is Denise. Joseph, I'm glad you're okay, and your voice still sounds sexy. I wanted to say, I'm a parent. My son is 20, so he grew up in South Carolina, but he was born right here in Miami Beach, and he's Latino. And I think that voters should have the right to know where their money is going and to yes or no it. And that includes having people come in from out of the country. I'm talking about South America. And their children going to school in place of the children who are already there. As the other gentleman said, that his school is some schools falling apart. The situation with my friends, I'm a college graduate, they are college, their schools are falling apart. Think about the other people, the kids, the parents who have less money, their schools are falling apart. They get no priority. The government can just cram kids in there. Where's the money coming from? Taxpayers are paying for everything, so we should have full disclosure and we should be able to yay or nay it. And I would love to be able to vote for cessation from the North and South instead of medical marijuana. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. I don't think that's going to happen. What is going to happen is we're going to take a short break on Topical Currents and be back with more.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're talking about tomorrow's election. Bonnie Berman, Joseph Cooper, speaking with Dan Ricker, journalist, publisher, and editor of the Watchdog Report. And Dan,
yes.
how do you get the Watchdog?
Just go to watchdogreport.net, and you can just or you can email me at publisher@earthlink.net.
Okay, and Dan Christensen is the founder and editor of the Broward Bulldog. And how do we get the Broward Bulldog?
BrowardBulldog.org is where we're located. You can also find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And a couple others, Dig, and other ones I don't remember.
Okay, and we just want to tell you that Dan Christensen is celebrating his fifth anniversary of BrowardBulldog.org, and they're having a celebration with special guest Diane McFarland?
Yes.
Okay, and that's Tuesday, November 18th, 6 p.m. at Yolo Restaurant in
downtown
Las Olas.
Yeah, downtown Fort Lauderdale. Diane is the dean of the University of Florida School of Journalism and Communications, and we're expecting a good turnout.
Okay, good. It doesn't seem like a year since the last one, but I'll take your word for it.
It doesn't. Well, what it really doesn't seem like is it's been 5 years since we started this.
And you've done a great job.
We're having fun, and we're trying to do a real push this year. We've got some interesting people that are helping us, and the goal here is to begin to expand our coverage starting in the new year.
So again, that's Tuesday, November 18th, 6 p.m. at YOLO on East Las Olas in Fort Lauderdale, fifth anniversary party.
And back to our calls. line 5, Jerry, South Miami. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Brief comment on Amendment 2. I actually read the amendment, and all of the negative stuff that was brought up just isn't true. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to? Okay.
I avoid all the ads because we record anything we watch on television and just fast forward through them. I have no idea why people masochistically expose themselves to this nonsense. But if you actually go out and read the amendments themselves in their totality, not the ballot language, but the actual complete ordinance, you would see. You've got to get certified by a doctor. I mean, people just don't do their homework. Frankly, we ought to do what they do in California, but of course they won't. They send out a voter's guide with all of these questions. The guide comes in English, and then on the back page, there's 8 different languages. It says, if you want it in this language, call this number, and they'll send it to you in that language. They have an explanation. It's called a legislative analyst, explains it. And then there are arguments in favor and against, and then rebuttals to the arguments in favor and against. And they have the entire language.
Okay. Jerry, we're trying to stick to Florida right now, and we only have a little bit of time, but thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Amendment 1 before we don't have time. Water and Land Conservation provides funding to acquire, restore, and manage Florida's beaches and the Everglades. Dan?
No, I think it sounds great. There's been a little undercurrent. Are they going to shift money from, how are they going to fund some of this? But it looks fairly benign, and I think anything that protects the environment here in Florida is probably a decent thing that we should consider.
Well, it's basically using a portion, as I understand it, a portion of the taxes that are imposed on real estate transactions will go into a pool and be used for the state to make land purchases. So it seems like a minor, you know, small amounts of money from many, many transactions that can be used to go out and buy some of that property that was talked about before to help restore the Everglades and other places. We had a bond up in Broward about something similar. I don't know, it's probably been 15, 20 years ago now, and they purchased a number of different parcels that added significantly to the amount that was sort of banked by the government up in Broward.
There hasn't been much opposition to Amendment 1, has there?
No.
I've seen none. Zero.
Okay.
And we move along to Daisy in Miami.
Yes.
Hi.
Good afternoon. I voted early also. I'm an educator in Miami-Dade County and a former Republican turned independent. As a school teacher, I like to say that the reasons I voted for Charlie Crist are brought to you by the letter E, education, economy, equality, and environment. On those issues, I feel he's a better advocate for the people of the state of Florida. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, Daisy.
And next up, we have Rosa in Miramar. Rosa.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am a parent who has a child who suffers from autism, and he goes to a center here in the Broward County. I voted yes for the improvements in the schools in Broward County, especially the Quest Center, which is the school that my son attends. This school is in urgent need of improvement, and I feel like sometimes the budget goes to different schools, but not for the schools that provide services or classes for kids with disabilities like the Quest Center. I also voted no on the marijuana because I don't feel comfortable. I feel like many people are going to abuse about this, and I voted yes for the council, for the Children's Services Council, because they provide services for kids with disabilities as well. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thank you, Rosa. Dan, did you want to comment?
The only thing I was going to say is I think everything she said sounded pretty good. The only question with the school bond is there are no promises. Well, there are promises. Are they empty or not? As to where money will be spent.
Well, normally you would have a list of all the schools and what was, I mean.
There has been something put out, but it's, you know, there's nothing set in stone.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Concerning the governor's race, is there a specific margin where it would throw us into some other way of deciding the governor. How close can it be? Does it have to be exactly a tie,
What
causes a recount?
What's it?
That's it. Less than a half percent.
Yeah, less than a half a percent variance.
Right. I forget exactly what it is.
But it's
got to be pretty close.
It's going to be close.
And once the recount starts,
it might. I mean, who knows if it's going to be close? Yeah. I mean, we always have these things. Everybody relies on these polls, and then it turns out things are 5 or 10% different than the polls say. Who knows? I mean, we talk about polls so much. Personally, I don't hold a lot of stock in them.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
I like the poll on election day.
Yes, that's the only one that matters.
And we move along to another caller, Brian in Tamarack.
Hello.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, thanks. I was just in the governor's race. I heard a caller say that she picked the lesser of two evils, and I do that all the time, and I think that's a horrible way to have to vote, because at the end of, I think both these guys, it's Kristen and Scott, are both lying weasels, and that's who we have to look. 31 flavors of ice cream, but when it comes to voting, we get two parties. There are other people we can vote for, but we all know that none of those people are ever going to get in. And I guess I would like to see everybody just vote independent this year. Everything independent. Let's get rid of both parties. Let them start over again from ground zero and say, hey, maybe we should be more in touch.
But wouldn't that be a way of protesting the choices if you voted for either Wiley or Kavari or Burkett?
Well, sure, you can. But the percentage of people that did it, I don't see any of those people getting enough votes. The independent, every time it comes along, it either hurts one party or the other, and it only serves to take away the votes that one person would have gotten. But at the end of the day, I don't think anybody is going to doubt that either the Republican or the Democrat is going to be in the governor's mansion.
Okay.
Email?
Email, why is it such a big deal that Chris changed parties? People can learn and grow and change in life.
Right. Personally, I agree. I mean, people change parties all the time. They don't usually do it in a big, in a high-profile case like this, but it has been done. As a matter of fact, a distant relative of mine was the governor of Virginia, back in the 1960s, and then he got reelected in the 1970s. First time he was a Democrat, and then he became a Republican. He was a segregationist Democrat who became a somewhat progressive Republican, his name was Godwin, Mills Godwin. So this is not an unprecedented situation.
Well,
Joe, this station has a history of close elections. I was just looking at you thinking about when we were here in 2000.
Right.
And the phone calls were
somebody
coming
from Palm Beach.
Yeah, about the butterfly ballots.
My ballot looked weird. I don't think I voted for who
I thought
I was.
We were trying to figure out
what
a butterfly ballot was. And
Well, we want to thank you for coming and for joining us today. We want to thank you for calling in.
I voted on a Sunday, early voting, and there were more poll workers than voters. It was a breeze.
Well, I voted yesterday, and it was pretty crowded.
I'm traditional. I vote tomorrow.
Well, that's the voice of Dan Christensen. He is the founder and editor of Broward Bulldog. That's browardbulldog.org. And their fifth anniversary celebration and fundraiser is Tuesday, November 18th, 6 p.m. at YOLO Restaurant on East Los Olas Boulevard. Also with us, Dan Ricker. He is the publisher and editor of The Watchdog Report. That's watchdogreport.net. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. 15 years strong.
Thank you.
15 years strong.
And thanks for tuning in, and most especially thanks to callers. Topical Currents is produced by Richard Ives with technical direction by online producer Paul Leary. It's easy to download free audio archives of this and previous programs. Go to the website WLRN.org and select radio. We also have more information, links, photos, and discussion at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Tomorrow's program looks at how law and litigation have increasingly influenced U.S. elections. Some advocates view new ID requirements, registration restrictions, and systematic voter purges as impediments to voting rights. We'll have Hamline University professor David Schultz, as well as Howard Simon of the ACLU of Florida on hand. This is Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman. Thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.